in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 in your Bibles, please. Reading verses 1 through 4, I'll start on verse number 1 if you'll join me on verse number 2. Read down with the even numbered verses with me. I'll begin at verse number 1. We'll read responsibly down through the fourth verse of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Stand with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'll begin there at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying at us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for the good service we've had already. Lord, I thank you for the good songs we've sung, the good music we've heard. Lord, I pray that you please be with us time now as, Lord, we listen to the special music and then the preaching. I pray that you please help us to pay attention to what you have for us. And then, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and be a part of this now. Be the preacher as he speaks, give him the words to say. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Song. That question was asked in the book of Genesis. It was answered in the book of Jeremiah. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. Good song, ladies. Thank you. I said this morning, I wanted to say it just one more time. Ashley is headed home tomorrow. It's been a blessing to have her here. I love her like one of my own. It's been a blessing to have her here for the wedding. But she is ready to get back. Madagascar is home now. And as I said this morning, there's a young man over there that's ready for his wife to get back to. So, but if you haven't spoken with her, I hope that you'll get a chance to tonight. And then the next time they get back, whenever that will be, we'll be glad to have them back again in the future. I want to draw your attention to verse number 3, because I'm going to get there after a while. Okay, how long is a while? That's a good question. I don't know, but I'm going to get there. Okay, I am aware that there's a meeting after church tonight, but I'm excited about the message to you that we have for you tonight. But for to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. To and beyond. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the great songs that have been such an encouragement to our heart tonight, to hear them sing as a group of people about your grace and then about your love. And then, Lord, to hear this wonderful song about, is there anything too hard for you? What a joy, God. And the song about Calvary has just been a blessing. The fellowship has been wonderful. Help me now, please, in these moments. I want to be used. God, please, build our church and help our church tonight. Help our people. Help all of us in this room. May we listen to what your Spirit would have for us, please, in Christ's name. And amen. A thermometer is a very helpful and sometimes necessary little tool when temperature needs to be checked or monitored. A thermometer only checks the temperature. A thermostat helps to get the temperature set. You know that. And both are very, very useful. Now, whether you are monitoring the sickness of a child or cooking the meat on the grill or trying to figure out how the temperature is in the house, a thermometer is a blessing because it gives you a read on the temperature. Christianity has a temperature. It has a temperature. I know that because Jesus was speaking to the church in Laodicea, which was one of the seven churches of Asia Minor in the book of Revelation. And this is what he said to that church. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So churches have a temperature. And Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. That's where you are. And so he knew the temperature, and this was spoken to a church, a called out local assembly of born again baptized believers. And as I said, the Lord knew the temperature of this church. Now, one of the thermometers, one of the indicators that is used like a thermometer to gauge the temperature of a church is giving. Another one is singing. You probably wish I was preaching on singing tonight, but I'm preaching on giving. And without fail, it seems whenever I design a message on giving, they always have visitors, and I always wonder if the visitors are going to leave saying, I'm never going back to church again because all they do is talk about money. But that's not the case, but I'm not ashamed, and I don't apologize for preaching about it when God leads me to. Now, the churches in Macedonia, and we know who those churches are from previous messages and lessons, especially around missions conference time, the churches in Macedonia that Paul is talking about Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, these churches were hot. They were hot churches. And all it takes is a casual reading of Philippians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And if you'll just have a casual reading of those letters, you get a quick understanding that something was going on in those places. Something for God was happening. And 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 sheds light on the temperature of the churches in Macedonia as well. Look at what it says in verse number 1 about those churches. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now that right there, folks, tells me that those churches were hot. Because the grace of God was upon those churches. I'm going to tell you what that doesn't mean. And I just feel, it just came into my mind. What that doesn't mean is this. That doesn't mean because the grace of God was on those churches, they had liberty to compromise and become worldly in their worship. And in their walk. Up here at Moody Bible Institute, Chicago Tribune had an article that somebody gave me the other day up here at Moody Bible Institute. They finally, because of a group of faculty members and students, they have finally okayed the teachers, the faculty members, it's okay for you to smoke, drink, gamble, and play poker off campus for the faculty of Moody Bible Institute. You ought to read the article. It says, of course, that the founder of the institution, D.L. Moody, was preaching in the days that led up to Prohibition, and he really felt like alcohol had a destructive and damaging and horrible influence on society. Like it does it today? Isn't that amazing? You mean we've come to the point where alcohol has no effect on our society, no negative effect? That's nuts. And it's exactly what I talked about some weeks ago about this matter of under grace. This is the emerging theme of so many Christians. Because we're under grace, you can go out and do anything you want to do. That is not grace. Not grace. And the grace of God was on these churches in Macedonia. They were hot churches. God's grace was working in the lives of the people. And friend, that is so important. I mean, that is so important. You say, what do you pray for Faith Baptist Church? That God's grace works in our hearts. That's far more important than how beautiful a building is. Far more important than how many are in attendance. Friend, I would rather have 100 folks with God's grace actively working than 3,000 with no grace working. Now, I mean that with all of my heart. All of my heart. Every bit of it. It is so vital for God's grace to be at work in people's lives. And God's grace was also working in the lives of the people in Corinth. You can find that here as you read through this passage. And that's, by the way, this is so encouraging to me because this is 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians was a letter of rebuke. You're a bunch of spiritual babies. You're divided up into little cliques. And everybody's measuring themselves among themselves and comparing themselves by themselves. And you got to get all this carnality going on. I should be able to talk to you as mature Christians, but all I can do is talk to you like babies. But now when you come to 2 Corinthians, the grace of God is at work in the church. That's encouraging. And brother, that's what will take a church to maturity. And that's what will keep a church from forming cliques. The grace of God working in the lives of the church members. And so that's happening here. Look at verse number 7. And am I too loud tonight? I've been bothered by this the last 2 weeks. Okay, thank you. Verse number 7. Look at what it says here in chapter 8. Therefore, as ye abound. Ye. Who's he writing to? Corinth. So Corinth is abounding in these indicators. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith. They were people of strong faith. Their faith was maturing. Their belief and their obedience into the word, in the word of God was maturing and growing. And utterance, that's the preaching and teaching and the speaking of the word of God. Evidently, there was powerful preaching and teaching going on, and the spread of the gospel was taking place. Okay, that's utterance. And then he says, in knowledge, people were anxious to learn the Bible. Feed me the word of God. Teach me the scriptures. Tell me about the word, anxious for knowledge about the Bible. And then he says they were abounding in diligence. They were not lazy. And they were abounding in love and in your love to us. That speaks for itself. So Paul lists all of these things where this church is abounding in these areas. And then Paul exhorted them, look at the end of the verse, see that ye abound in this grace also. So they are growing in the grace of faith. They're growing in the grace of utterance. They're growing in the grace of knowledge. They're growing in the grace of diligence. They're growing in the grace of love. Paul says, amen, that's wonderful, but don't miss this grace. See that you abound in this grace also. And people, the grace he's talking about in this chapter, in that verse, is giving. The grace of giving. So don't leave giving off. That is a thermometer to check the spiritual temperature of an individual and a church body. I'll tell you something, friend. If the subject of giving comes up from this pulpit and you shut down immediately and tune it out, your thermometer is, your temperature is not good. It's not good. And that is the honest truth. And that's what Paul is writing to them about here. He's saying, look, don't leave off this grace. Giving is a thermometer that can help measure the temperature of a congregation, of an individual. But wait, you know, say, okay, now wait a minute, Pastor. I've been listening so far. Now, you've already talked about Laodicea being spiritually lukewarm. They weren't hot or cold, so they had a lukewarm temperature. And now you're talking about giving being a thermometer, an indicator of spiritual temperature. Wasn't Laodicea rich and increased in goods? Isn't that what Revelation 3 says? You're rich and so Laodicea was a wealthy church. So they must have been taking in large offerings. So wait a minute. So Pastor, wait a minute. Giving can't be an indicator to judge temperature, because here was a wealthy church that Jesus said was lukewarm. Well, folks, there are churches where a good number of wealthy people are happy to throw wads of money into the plate to help with certain stuff and carry on, and yet the temperature of the church is not good. But giving can still be used as a thermometer when God uses it. God can measure the temperature of a church through giving like nobody else can, because only God, now listen to this, can correctly measure the size of the gift. And the size of the gift is never determined by the amount. It is determined by the proportion. That's how God judges. Look at verse number 2. Look at what's going on here in this chapter, in this church. This church is in Macedonia. Look what he says about them. And remember, they're spiritually hot. The grace of God is effective in working in their membership. Look at what he says. How that in a great trial of affliction. So here's a great time of affliction. Now watch this. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. The fact that they gave, watch it now, the fact that they gave with abundant joy, coupled with the fact that they were in deep poverty, was proof that the grace of God was at work in their lives. They were hot for the Lord. They were not giving out of abundant wealth. They were giving out of abundant joy. That's why they were giving. It was exciting to them, even though they didn't have much to give. They were still excited about it. And I mean to tell you, this church was hot. And the grace of God, it's right there in the book. We've already been told that the grace of God was effective and at work in that church. And now we're told that they didn't have a lot of money. They're in deep poverty. And yet they so enjoyed giving, they just thrilled to give. They weren't giving out of abundant wealth. They were giving out of abundant joy. They were happy to give even when it hurt to give. You listening tonight? That's not making me, this is not a sales pitch. This is not making up. That's Bible. They were happy to give even when it hurt to give. You see, it's not just the amount of our giving that gauges our spiritual temperature. It's how we give and the proportion of our gift. God knows how big the pool is that we give out of. Are you listening tonight? I'm talking about two and beyond. I said I was going to get there in a while. I will. In a while. I don't know about you, but I am enjoying this program, this Fire Hero gear. I am enjoying it. And tonight, we are exactly one halfway through this program. We have had 6 weeks previous, and we have 6 more weeks to go. We are in the exact halfway mark. And I am excited to see what the results of this program will be come the end of November. I've already had some kids come up and tell me excitedly that how they are filling their banks. A young little boy told me last Sunday night, Pastor, I have $12, I think it's something like 67 cents in my bank. And he was so excited about that. So excited about it. And that was a little bitty boy. And I hope that the rest of the folks, I hope, you know, if kids are excited about it, I hope we adults can get excited about it as well. You know, in second, Paul is writing here in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now watch this. Logic this with me. He is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them about the churches in Macedonia. Right? Okay. But when you get to chapter 9, flip over to chapter 9, okay? Flip over to chapter 9, and look at verse number 1 and 2 here in chapter 9, all right? For as touching the ministering to the saints, that's talking about the offering Paul's talking about here, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. So Paul was talking to the church at Corinth about the churches in Macedonia. He had also been talking to the churches in Macedonia about the church at Corinth. He was encouraging both churches, all these churches in different geographical areas, with what the other churches were doing. It was amazing that I got a text last night from Brother Bill Graham, Signal 63 Ministries, Marion, Iowa. He's been to Madagascar twice, been to Philadelphia. He's been here. He came and did our shooting class for us, and he's going to come back and do a church security meeting for us men, which is essential. I'm hoping we can do it at kind of a less busy time after the first of the year and do a church security meeting here for our men so that those of you that work in the lobby will have a bit more knowledge about how to securely take care of a church, you know, in case of somebody coming in or something. But anyway, he sent me a text. He has no idea that we are in any kind of a program for the fire department. None. No idea. He sends me this link to CBS2 Iowa news station. And so I clicked on it and I went to the link, and it was a story about Grace Baptist Church, where Brother Ballard is the pastor. And Grace Baptist Church for the past several years has hosted a pancake breakfast for the Marion Police Department K-9 unit. And they had on TV, they had a picture in the gymnasium of people eating pancakes, and they had pictures of these Marion policemen with these canine dogs that they use for, you know what they use them for the police department. And they were showing everything. And then they had Brother Bill Graham on there, and Brother Bill Graham said, "We've been having a pancake breakfast for the Marion Police Department K-9 unit for 3 or 4 years, and we'll raise between $3,000 and $4,000 for the Marion Police K-9 department." And this year, they raised about $4,000, and the money is going to purchase a new K-9, a new dog. They call it a new officer. It's a four-legged officer, okay, for the Marion Police Department. And I thought, you know, he has no idea. And I think God just did that to encourage my heart and for me to tell you folks, look, we're not the only church that's doing something like this for something in the community. I think it's a great thing. And I hope it catches on in our churches. And I hope it really does become something that we begin to do as churches in our community. And here was Brother Graham. He was so excited about the money. Of course, he is the chaplain for the Marion Police Department there in Marion, Iowa. And he was so excited about it. And I hope you're excited about this. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm filling up my bank, and according to what you said tonight, I am doing okay because I am on an extremely tight budget, and yet I am happy to give what little I can give. And according to what you said tonight, God's happy with that." And yes, that's good. But I do want to point out now my text verse. I want to point out verse number 3 about these people in Macedonia in chapter 8. I want to point it out, and I look at it. He said, "For to their power." And then he said, later on in verse 3, "and beyond their power." Now, folks, there is a difference between to their power and beyond their power. Isn't there? There's a difference. Okay? So Paul talked about to their power, and then he talked beyond their power. Now, look, one of the legitimate definitions of the word power is ability. It is listed in Webster's dictionary along with other definitions of the word power. And that is the definition of the word power as used here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The church gave to their ability, and then they went beyond their ability when it came to this gift. They had the ability to give an amount, and out of the very little that they had to give from, and they used that ability. But then, they were willing to somehow find a way to give beyond their ability. That's what he says about them in verse number 3. They were willing of themselves. They gave to their ability, but they weren't content with that. They wanted to find a way to give beyond their ability. I love that. And I think that's, and by the way, we're talking about churches where the grace of God was at work. Folks, when the grace of God is at work in our lives, we're not happy just to do the status quo. Oh, the grace of God takes us further. And these folks, with the grace of God effective in their hearts, they were happy to give to their ability, but man, they longed and wished for the ability to give beyond their ability. Now listen, when an individual gives beyond their ability, two factors are involved. Number one, they first have to give to their ability. Right? Okay. Look, they first have to give to their ability. Number two, God has to help them give beyond their ability. But God's not going to help people give beyond their ability if they're not willing to give to their ability. Y'all with me tonight? To and beyond. God is not going to help folks give beyond their ability if somebody's not at least willing to give to their ability. I'm going to tell you what else it helps. It helps that you're able to, it helps that you give to your ability, but there's something inside that goes, well, I love God for you to make it possible for me to give more. Give more. Now, you can, folks, you can approach this as, money. You can say, I don't care what you grumble about. That book's full of talk about money. I'm not talking about us getting rich. I'm talking about us doing for something for somebody else. And this is exactly what, and the grace of God was at work in these people's lives. They did what they could, and then God took it further. Now, I believe there is a way we can see this happen. I believe if you and I are, number one, willing to give to our ability, I believe there is a way for us, if we're willing, to give beyond our ability. And it's called the crafty fair. That's what it's called. It's called the crafty fair. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about using the craft fair this year for Fire Hero gear. I'm talking about giving the money. I'm talking about doing it just like we've always done it, if not more and better. And when it gets all done, it all goes to the fire department. You're kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Take a deep breath, ladies. It's all right, okay? It's all right. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Listen. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. That is within our ability. We can do that. We can do that. That's within our ability. And that's what you have to do. You have to give to your ability. And there's nothing that says we have to take the proceeds from the craft sale and keep it for ourselves. We've done that for 15 years. Now, I'm not against doing it for us. But the whole program is built on the spiritual principle of love your neighbor as yourself, do unto others. And after doing 15 for us, I don't think it'd be hard for bad for us to do one for them. Does that make sense? Makes all the sense in the world to me. So we're going to do it. We're going to have the craft sale, the crafty fair. And we're going to take the money and we're going to give it to Fire Hero Gear because of the principle that this whole program is founded on. It won't hurt us to do one for our neighbor. But folks, and we have that ability. But wait a minute, listen. Understand that this crafty fair is the vehicle to go beyond our ability. It's how we go beyond. It's what God will use to help us go beyond our ability. And it's going to need everybody's involvement, not just the ladies, because we're ramping up the advertisement, changing the name. I already tell you, there's a new theme. There are new people in leadership, and we're going to need more involvement. We're going to need the men's involvement. Now, I just lost you. Yeah, you're okay, fellas, but it's your, yeah, you hear, that's a good idea, woman. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. We need our men. We need the men to get involved. Men can cook. Like to clean up, but they can cook. Men can make items. Now look, here is how I see this thing working, okay? I'm going to use an extreme example. This is an extreme illustration, but here's an extreme illustration, okay? Extreme example. Here's a person, and all they have to put into the craft fair is $5. That's all. That is what they have to put into it, and that is to their ability. Look, that's an extreme illustration, which is probably not even true across the board here. But let's just, for numbers sake, here's a person who has a $5 bill. That's all they have to their ability to put in that craft sale. But they decide, you know what, I'm going to be involved in this. And so they make one apple pie, which is then sold for $10. And all of it goes to the Fire Hero Gear Program. They didn't have a $10 bill to give, but they did have a $5. And because they were willing to give to their ability, God brings somebody in. Look at that apple pie. Boy, I think I want that for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'll pay you $10 for that. And now their $5 turned into beyond their ability to $10. Does that make sense to y'all? Now that's an extreme illustration. That's an extreme illustration, but that's exactly how it works. You have somebody that will spend $8. Now, these are approximate figures, depending on what kind of things you do. But I was talking to some ladies who are involved in it and done it before. They spend about $8 to make 5 dozen cookies, and if they're nice cookies, they're man cookies. They're not baby cookies. They're man cookies, and they're sold for $4 per dozen. So to their ability, somebody spends the $8 that they have. And people, you know, we're always quick to talk about how willing we are to give what we don't have. If I had $1 million, you ain't got $1 million. If I had $50,000, you don't have that. Maybe you do. That'd be great. God's far more concerned about the $5 you do have than the $50,000 you don't have. So, some person goes to the store, spends $8. This is what I've got. That's all I've got. $8. I'm going to invest it. That's to my ability to spend the $8 on the ingredients. I'm going to make 5 dozen cookies. They sell for $4 each. That's a total of $20. They have received more than 100%. They didn't have 20 to give. They had 8 to give. But God brought the person in who said, I think I'll buy the cookies. And somehow that 8 turns into 20. They gave beyond their ability. I just let your mind wander a little bit about what you can do. I was talking to a lady who's making redneck sippy cups. Brother, that sounds... I know some grandchildren that need a redneck sippy cup. Redneck sippy cups, 75 cents in those things, plan to sell them for $5. That's a $4.25 return, advance on it. Another lady's going to make chalkboards from $2 to $5 each, sell them for $8 to $15 each. You folks, you understand? This is the limit, okay? This is to my ability, whatever it is. And so I'm willing to take that and give that. Really, I want that to be far more than that. And so I get involved in this the 2013 Crafty Fair, Faith Baptist Church, and my investment of this turns into a realization of this. And then at the end, it all goes away. You say, give it away. When I went to Howells Anderson College as a freshman in 1976, one of the first things they did was say, now we want you folks to take these Bibles and sell them. Great big large print Bibles. Jack Howells was trying to raise money to pay off the debt on the college. He'd been doing that for a year and a half, special emphasis. They had offerings where ladies took their rings and put them in the plate. They gave titles to vehicles. And it was push, 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 push. Here's the cutoff date. We've got to have this amount of money. I forget all the details. We've got to have this amount of money by this time if we're going to keep the college. We've got to have it. Or we're going to have to do something else. And people gave and gave and gave and gave. And the time came. And I won't forget the service. I was in the service where he stood up and he told the folks, he said, people, I met with the deacons last night and we are not where we need to be with the offering. But there is a Bible college, and I forget where it was. In Wisconsin. And he said, what we have is enough to pay what they need. And I'm bringing a motion tonight from the deacon board that we give it away. And they gave it away. And it wasn't long before a couple of fellas rolled in and bankrolled. The bankrolled the money that was needed for the college. That's a true story. They gave it away. The Lord will never be a debtor to man. Ever. Never. God always gives back, and He gives back more. You know the laws of sowing and reaping. And so here it is. This is, I hope this year you will jump in. This is our opportunity to give to our ability and hopefully see God take it and move it beyond our ability. And you know, the best year we ever had in the craft sale was about approximately $7,000. Most times it was around six. One year somebody sold something or threw something in it when it made it to about $7,000. I would love to see us eclipse that $7,000. I would love to see us do better for them than we have done for ourselves. So that's nuts. Folks, look, I don't know what to tell you. Either we believe the Bible or we don't. You know, and we're always quick to say, you know, God will never be a debtor to any person, but you know, give. But it won't always come back in material things. Sometimes it does come back in material blessings. Yeah, sometimes it does. It did for them in Hammond. They gave it away, and God gave them more than what they gave away. It's unbelievable. Now look, I don't know how to explain this to you, but in the year since 2008, which was when the country went through the economic downturn toward the end of 2008 and then into 2009, we saw our offerings, our general fund offering. I believe our general fund offering took a $37,000 hit in 2009. Remember what we had in 2008? 2009 was $37,000 less. Our building fund took about a $10,000 hit. Our mission fund went up $500. So we took about a $49,000 hit from 2008 to 2009 in our general fund and in our building fund. Since 2008, untold churches have had financial trouble. Unbelievable. Untold churches. And we may next week, but we haven't so far. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain it to you. Our attendance has grown leaps and bounds. In fact, we have less right now than we had 2009. And some folks have left. Other folks are cut. I don't know who gives and who doesn't give. I don't know. But somehow, we have to replace a heat exchanger out here on this unit out here in the next 3 weeks. It's $6,400. Because if the thing's broken, if we ran the furnace and pumped carbon monoxide in here, then we really would be a dead church. So we've got to replace that whole thing. And now you know what? Hey, I'm happy to tell you tonight, I don't have to come to you and beg for money. We have that in surplus. We can write a check. The minute they put it in, send us the bill, we can write a check for it because it's there because. If I had to put a human answer to it, I would say, first of all, the missions. Missions giving. Missions giving has never gone down. It's just barely increased, but it's always increased. I would love to get to the place where we support 200 missionaries. Love it. We're about 180 something now. We took one on Wednesday night. Great guy. Going to Papua New Guinea. I'd love to get to 200 missionaries. But I think that's helped us. I think those Wednesday night offerings to help brother so-and-so and this so-and-so and this church, you know, where we throw in $2 or $3 a week for 6 weeks, end up giving about $20 over the total of the six offerings, send somebody a check for $500. That's sick. That Wednesday night offering, that's just, I don't think so. I think like when the preachers come through that we know and we try to be a financial blessing, make a love gift to a preacher, the Christmas evangelist that we have in every year. You folks have been so faithful to give generously to those Christmas evangelists, that little program that we have. Folks, I think we're okay financially, not because of what we've taken in, but because of what we've given away. Does that make sense to y'all? I believe that with all of my heart. All of my heart. And this program that we're in right now is one of those things where who knows? Who knows what God will do? And that's not our motive. That's a benefit, but that's not a motive. Motive is to be a blessing. Motive is to love our neighbors ourselves. Ladies, we'll do it the same way we did before. Keep track. The items will be, you know, have your initials, and you'll keep track of how much you sell, and that will go into your fire bank. Go into your fire truck bank, what you sell. And that will be unchanged. And the craft sale trip and the incentive money, if you want to take it, will be available for the trip. But look, either I've got a book in my hand that's alive and true and real, or it's just I can't decide that what this Bible talks about when it comes to salvation is true, but when it comes to giving, it's not true. Either it's true or it's not. And they gave to their power. God took it beyond. Phew. Man. So would you join in? Would you ask God for that willing heart? Man, when the subject of giving comes up from the pulpit, don't clam up and get cold inside. That is not a good indicator, friend. I'll say it to you again. These people were happy to give. That didn't go unnoticed by God. Amen. To their power and beyond. Let's see what God will do. Let's see what they do. Individually and corporately as a church. All right, let's stand. Please, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. I appreciate your patience. We're a good time. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to just reach out and by faith grab it and obey it and act upon it in full faith, believing you to be exactly what you say you are. Lord, thank you for a real, living, true Bible. Help us tonight, Lord. I pray for anybody here tonight whose heart just maybe is a little bit cold. I pray, God, that you'll stir them up. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, please. That's so important. One of these thermometers to judge the temperature is our attitude toward giving. And I thank you, Lord, for the generosity of these people through the years. Help us to be a blessing now in the weeks to come. In Jesus' name.